"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody, and our little one is back.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Oh, did we save some stories for you? We're coming at you today.
Fantastic.
I noticed that. We had them all ready for yesterday.
Dad forgot you weren't in, so well, we delayed one or two, then we found a couple of new ones, so
yeah,
coming at you from all angles.
I can't wait, Ken.
We have a hurricane that we're keeping an eye on. It's thousands of miles away, but it's still, because, you know, I love these stories about people that won't leave. They're my favorites. They're telling 2.5 million people to evacuate. What percentage of people in Florida, one of the favorite states, will actually evacuate?
Well,
low percentage.
We have about a half a dozen friends in Sarasota, and there's like a mix. There's one couple I told you yesterday drove to Ohio. There's another guy, he said, "Nah, I've been through this for decades. Nothing ever happens." We were talking to him last night, and he goes, "Not going to move."
It strikes me as a state where people are just, you know.
He said, "There's
nowhere the government and screw the warnings, and I'm a survivor." And
he said, "There's nowhere to go anyway." Because all the hotels are filled up. He's not going to go into one of those shelters with all the weirdos and animals. So
go to Ohio.
You like go to Ohio. Do. Yeah, right.
That seems to be safely out of the way one.
No, I mean, there are people who they get a little whiff of bad news. They're on alert. They're gone. And there's other people, they just lay back in the lounge chair, have a beer, and say, "Hey, whatever happens, happens." It's based on their personalities. Not so much on the threat. It's on their personality. That's what the
term is. Oh, of course it is, yeah. Well, my parents lived in Florida for years. They did not evacuate. They lived through several hurricanes, and there was no way. In fact, the last one, I mean, they're both passed now, but my brother had to go down there and sit with them. He was too nervous. And sure enough, they lost power, and they were in bad shape. They were trying to sit outside and terrible with no air conditioning. And a place like that was like 95 degrees, but they were in the crowd of, "No, we're not leaving." Especially my father. "No way. They always do this. Crazy warnings. Hype." John Cobalt's on TV tonight.
Oh, yes.
Something else we'll cover.
Well, there's a documentary on Fox 11 called Hell No Water.
And it's what's that between the two?
It's two slash marks. This is a very artistic-looking title.
I see. Okay. I wasn't sure what that meant.
Well, half the documentary is on the wildfires. And half the documentary is, "We have no more water."
Okay.
And, you know, they're related.
We'll play the preview clip where you say, "We got the ocean." That's what I saw.
Yes.
The ocean's right there. Let's grab it.
I'm
paraphrasing.
Yes. No, that's pretty close to it. Makes perfect sense.
Bottom line common sense.
If you were an alien, right, you drop from the planet and everybody's saying, "We don't have water. We don't have water." You as the alien would point out to the Pacific and say, "I see lots of water. Why don't you use that?"
And suck it all up.
That's right. Everybody go, "Oh, yes, you're right. Maybe we should use the Pacific Ocean."
That's what they do in many countries.
There's plenty
of
water.
We gotta grab it. All right, so you'll hear about it, too, from Fox 11 reporter Tina Silva.
It's tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox
11. 7 it's on. Okay, it's an hour?
Yes.
Okay. And you're like half the show?
No, I'm just little bits of me sprinkled about. They have a lot of.
One time it's an eye, an ear,
etc. Different body parts, different.
All right. Well, we begin with a Deborah Marks story that I think we're all going to agree on. It is freaking horribly outrageous. Did you prepare yourself?
I'm prepped right now.
Well, those kind of stories I switch sides on sometimes.
I don't think you will. A Montana woman bragged on social media that she had killed in a hunt a wolf pup. This happened in Montana. She displayed the photos. Her name is Amber Rose. What a name. Amber Rose from Miller City, Montana.
Stripper.
Graphic images on Facebook of the dead animal. She's clutching a rifle. It's like you see those guys that go on safari hunts in Africa. Same kind of thing. She's holding up the animal's head. Here it is. I got it. Killed it. Well, hold on for this. She killed a Siberian husky dog.
Oh, my God.
That's all it turned out to be.
Well, still, still bad.
But she's got it. No, she actually killed a dog.
Yes.
Yeah, she killed it by mistake. She thought it was a wolf pup.
Oh,
it turns out it's a dog.
Oh, I thought she did it on purpose. Okay, now, brain's working better now. I get it.
She's got it skinned.
People pointed out to her that is not a wolf pup in your hands. That is a Siberian husky.
But still, she shouldn't have tried to kill a wolf pup anyway. But
that's what other people said. She shouldn't have been hunting a wolf pup.
You got to see the photo. She has the pup splayed out.
No.
Skinned and splayed out on the back of her pickup.
Why am I going to see that picture?
With his little head and his eyes. I could show it up on the TV.
No.
Wait, I just want to confirm. You said the name was Amber Rose?
Yeah, stripper, I think.
Well, she was there's a model formerly married to Kanye West named Amber Rose.
No, she's no model. No.
Well, that's why when you said stripper, I was like, well, not too far off.
She looks exactly like the kind of woman who would skin a puppy alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what she posted. This morning, I set out for a solo predator hunt for a fall black bear. However, I got the opportunity to take another predator wolf pup. 2022 was a great feeling. To text my man and say, I smoked a wolf pup.
To text my man. Smoked a wolf pup.
What a despicable human.
It wasn't long before she heard, no, you shot and skinned a husky.
You dopey fool.
Yes. She comes back and defends herself that the animal was vicious and was going to attack her, so she had to do it in self-defense.
Oh, sure. A Siberian husky puppy is vicious, and she would have to... come on.
She said, my safety was my top priority. This animal was growling, howling, and coming at me like it was going to eat me.
Baloney.
The local sheriff's office, my favorite, Flathead County. I guess that explains...
What do you think comes out of Flathead County?
Flathead County, Montana. Yeah.
She's got a big flat forehead. You know, you
the
see that?
The sheriff's office said that they've been contacted by someone who reported picking up several husky and shepherd mixed dogs in the area. And then later they got an advisement that one of the dogs may have been shot. And that was Amber's doing.
So what's going to happen to her?
That is the sound of the dying
husky. You know, I don't think anything right now, Deborah Mark.
Well, something should.
Oh, yeah, John, you're right. That picture with the animal on the flatbed truck.
You see it?
Played
it's
out,
all
skinned.
Blown up. Really, Deborah, look at this. No, this is terrible.
John, don't waste your breath or your time. I'm not going to. No way.
She now admits she was human and made a mistake.
Well, there you go.
But she wanted to kill an animal anyway. She was all excited about killing a wolf pup. Was that? It makes no sense.
Under Montana law, a person can take up to 20 wolves with no more than 10 via hunting and no more than 10 via trapping. A separate license is required for each wolf.
I mean, you know, if you make a
but
mistake.
She killed a dog. If
there's
it
no
might
in,
be a stray dog, though. I don't know if that's going to be an issue.
If there's no intent and it was just misidentification, then there really isn't a crime there.
I say there was intent. She wanted to kill.
No, you think. She woke up that morning and she was going to take out a
Siberian
husky.
I think that's what she does for pleasure.
Yeah. Jail her in Flathead County.
Is that her? I mean, she's actually holding the dead dog in her arms.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's what she's holding it up for the camera.
But she's holding it as
it almost looks like it's alive, like the eyes are open.
Like it's a trophy.
Like it's her pet. Like she's
hugging
her pet.
You can see some blood there on this chest.
Yeah,
see the blood?
I know.
Deborah Mark, you don't want to see
this.
No,
I'm not looking. I don't want to look at something like that. No, that's
what is wrong with people?
Yeah, exactly. Let's skin her. I'm serious.
Alive.
Alive. I don't want to see that either, but
and
come on.
Then you'll see Deborah holding her up.
No, I know.
Got her. Dog
that's
killer.
What you deserve, lady.
Baby husky killer.
Take that.
All right, we'll talk about the people dodging the hurricane in Florida and some who are just staying put. Is Hurricane Ian. Kind of a benign name for a hurricane, isn't it, Ian?
Yes, British sounding.
It is. Is going to be hitting Florida pretty soon. It's like the whole state, but mostly in the Tampa area. Coming up in the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
Wait. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, then he goes. We have a new thing we're doing.
Okay. Yeah. So,
hurry up already.
Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Oh, my God. Could you go any slower with that next time?
Hey, the Moist Line is coming back already on Friday, 3 days away. Toll-free number is 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. You can also use the iHeartRadio app. There's a microphone icon for you to leave a message for the Moist Line. Big story today nationally is the hurricane. It's Hurricane Ian, I-A-N. All I can think of is Ian Fleming, who wrote the Bond books. No? Got any other famous Ians? It's already made landfall in western Cuba. It is on its way to Florida. And John's beloved Sarasota is a couple hundred miles southwest of Sarasota. And it is also only 100 miles away from part of the Florida Keys. It should strengthen thanks to the Gulf of Mexico waters that are very warm. We could be looking at 140-mile-per-hour winds before it makes landfall again. You see, it's going to cross over Cuba, pick up a lot of intensity over the warm Gulf waters, and then it's going to hit all of Florida, by the way, all of it.
Yeah, there's
because
a state
it's going to cross
of
through Florida, then up the East Coast, there's probably.
There's a state of emergency for all 67 counties, and every county has at least a tropical storm warning.
Now, we've seen this before where it just takes a turn that they didn't expect. This is their projection. Most of the concern is with what they call the storm surge. And it looks like for the west coast of Florida area around Tampa, 5 to 8 feet is possible. But south of that, I see 8 to 12 feet storm surge.
Yeah, that's Sarasota.
Which they say would be very, very catastrophic.
That is
flooding possible.
Well, it's a 12-foot wall of water coming at you. So that'll wipe out all one-story homes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it really is a wall of water 12 feet high.
It just comes all at once?
It just keeps coming.
Yeah.
It depends on how much force there is from the wind, and if the storm stalls off the coast or moves very slowly, then it keeps coming and coming and coming. It can go many miles inland.
2.5 million people in the state are under some kind of evacuation order. Now, there is a mixture of response to that. One, of course, the headlines is that Disney has decided, as Disney World down there in Florida, they're hanging it up. They've told everybody to leave, their guests and so forth. They're going to close down operations because you don't want to be a business and then, you have people there that get in trouble from the storm.
All the theme parks in Orlando closed are closing now.
Right. And Category 4 is what they believe it'll be at when it hits Florida. Yeah, customers at Disney World are having their reservations at some hotels canceled. Disney's confirmed that the parks are currently set to remain open, but they're monitoring the situation as the storm draws closer.
They're going door to door of mobile homes.
Yeah, that's a real concern, a mobile home.
Trying to force people. Oh, the mobile homes are going to be airborne homes.
I remember one year, one of the hurricanes really devastated a lot of mobile homes in Florida, particularly in that northern part towards the panhandle.
They're going to just burst into pieces. They're going to explode from all that wind.
Explode.
So all these mobile home people have to be taken to shelters.
Yeah, I mean, Florida is one place where they've certainly seen this before. And as we mentioned, was it 5 years ago you said that there was supposed to be one that was going to devastate the Tampa area and then took a bit of a turn?
It took a bit of a turn and kind of worked around the area. But right. they haven't had one that hit Tampa directly in 101 years. And now this one looks like it's going to hit south of Tampa in the Sarasota-Venice area.
Right.
But, yeah, they haven't
had more than a million homes along Florida's west coast will be at risk of storm surge damage. So that's the real concern, more than just when the hurricane passes through with the rainfall and the wind. But then you have the storm surge from the ocean there. From the Gulf of Mexico.
Forecasters had picked this one out a week ago, before it had fully formed. Their computer modeling suggested that it was going to take this path. And so far, it's been pretty much right on. I mean, it wiggles, you know, a few miles here or there. But for the most part, this is the path that they thought would happen a week ago.
Yeah. You have a collection of people being interviewed who say that they are going nowhere, calling themselves survivors, saying that they prepared themselves, they've been through this before. I mean, the only time in history, really, that we heard this and it turned out to be catastrophic was Katrina. When that hit New Orleans, a lot of people did not heed the warnings, and that turned out to be horrendous with many deaths.
As long as you're high enough above the storm surge, I mean, if I had a house that was right on the water, or within a few blocks of the water, I would definitely get out, because if you have a one-story home, 12 feet of water is going to wipe you out. You're not going to survive that. You can survive the wind. I mean, if you've got a room or a basement or something that's you know, doesn't have a big window that's going to blow out and the glass shards kill you.
Right.
But, you know, most of this people will survive. But you can't survive a wall of water that, and it's powerful too. I mean, it's got the strength of the ocean coming in at high tide. So if you're in that zone, and they have different zones, Florida has divided all the land up into zone A, zone B, zone C, based on the risk, how close you are to the water. You're right. In zone A, you should get out. That's a good Darwin move.
Yeah, it has entered the Gulf of Mexico. There are huge bands of rain and gusty winds already hitting South Florida and the Florida Keys.
You know, I've said this before. I don't get people who are upset when they're warned to move and it turns out it didn't happen, right? Storm took a turn.
And they did move or they didn't move?
They did move, and then they're upset that they moved. Because I would be happy. Hey, my house is still standing. The worst didn't happen. You know, they warned me. I decided to take them up on their warning. And now it turned out to be a false alarm. That's a good thing. But people get angry. It's like, oh, it was just a false alarm. It was exaggerated. It was hype. It's like, well, it's not hype. There's always a chance with a hurricane that it's going to zigzag here and there. They just don't have the capability yet to figure that out. They may never get that capability.
Yeah, I think the reason is they kind of feel like victims of the hype. Because the media gets so freaking worked up. This is the worst in 100 years. We can't tell you how devastating this could be. And they do this every time because they want the eyeballs.
Well, yes. So you deprive them of your eyeballs. Calm your nervous system. Once you got the basics down, you make a determination. Okay, there's a hurricane coming at me. Nobody knows if it's going to hit my house or not. And I'm going to get washed away into the Gulf. But now I know. So what do I want to do? And then make that decision and then live with this decision. But the thing is, it is addictive to watch. I love watching storm coverage. I could do this all day, every day.
Oh, I know that.
You know, storms excite me.
The childhood weatherman.
Oh, it's like.
Did you have a map and a desk in your basement?
Yes.
Your own little studio. You were doing your own weather reports.
I used to make my own weather maps every day and hang them up for the family.
All right, we'll probably get a report later on in the show from Florida.
I should have done that. It's easier work.
The storm. Johnny Kent Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Well, you know, got off the show last night and turned on the TV, and it wasn't long before I saw one of Rick Caruso's Karen Bass Church of Scientology ads. Have you seen them yet? They're running like crazy.
No.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't think he bought
any new hot ad.
One just popped up for me in the studio, actually, during the last break.
Oh. Yeah, so we talked about this yesterday. He is, you know, it's actually got a title, Church of Karen.
Yeah.
This is Bass at a 2010 event. The Church of Scientology is opening up a headquarters in Los Angeles. She is one of the key speakers at the event, and she's doling out praise upon the church. An exciting moment. I know your goal and your commitment is to make a difference. L. Ron Hubbard, the church founder, is exciting. The Church of Scientology, I know, has made a difference because your creed is a universal creed. So that's kind of the clips that are played. Well,
do you know who their god is, the Scientologists?
It's some sort of some extraterrestrial being? Or
yeah, named Xenu.
Xenu, right.
X-E-N-U.
Yeah, they believe that they came here and, what, made the human race?
I have never delved into what the Scientology religion is, because I don't think it's really a religion. I think it's a mind control cult. So what they believe in is not really the point. How they manipulate people's minds into thinking they need to be part of the group and to donate money. I mean, I was reading excerpts from a book just the other day, and how one of the main executives targeted Hollywood celebrities who, if you manipulate celebrities right, you can get them to donate millions of dollars to a cause. And they snagged Travolta and they snagged Tom Cruise. And it's crazy land mind manipulation.
All right, here is the response from Karen Bass. We have a story from ABC reporter Josh Haskell.
Rick Caruso's campaign out with a new ad called Church of Karen that takes a speech Congresswoman Karen Bass gave back in 2010 at a Church of Scientology event and cuts it up with negative headlines about the controversial church.
This day and this new Church of Scientology is an exciting moment because I know your goal and your commitment is truly to make a difference.
Bass has said she wasn't aware of the dark cloud over Scientology back in 2010 and would not have given that speech if she had been. Here's what the candidate for mayor of Los Angeles told us Monday during our ABC 7 Eyewitness News exclusive interview.
It's ridiculous to associate me with the Church of Scientology. I am a Baptist. My minister is Norman Johnson. And I have never, ever been affiliated with Scientology and absolutely condemn their practices. That is very clear. But that's what I meant. Is the question is, how low will Rick Caruso go? Will he just continue spending money like this, attacking me and hoping that he lowers my poll numbers? Or will he engage in what I believe voters really need to see, which is a dialogue and a debate and a discussion about the issues? And I don't believe that he sees that as helpful to his campaign, because I don't think he has serious answers for voters in Los Angeles.
The Los Angeles mayor's race is turning uglier by the day, highlighted by scandals at USC and whether Rick Caruso really supports reproductive rights, which he said he does. And don't forget the burglary at Karen Bass's home, where two guns were stolen, two people arrested. Rick Caruso continues to believe Bass is hiding something, which he told us in an interview last week.
Why doesn't she tell us what kind of guns they were? We got two more guns on the street now. We have the highest level of gun violence. Why doesn't she show us the box that they were kept in? She said it was pursuant to LA City law. Well, prove it. You got an obligation. You're running for mayor.
Maybe he thinks I orchestrated the burglary myself. I mean, that's what I mean by going low. It's actually, at this point, embarrassing. And that's why I thought it was disheartening. I think that Caruso knows better than this. And to be someone who had my house robbed and to have my opponent turn it on me as though I am the criminal is kind of pathetic.
And we are now 10 days away from the first mail-in ballots being sent out for the November election.
That's ABC7's Josh Haskell. So there were two things in there, the Scientology story and the gun story. About the Scientology story, I didn't know this. Remember, she was being considered for vice president by Joe Biden? And I guess one of her rivals was Kamala Harris, and I think they were putting out stories about each other. Is that what I remember reading?
Well,
one of them was Bass and the Cubans.
Yeah.
But also she had to answer questions then about Scientology.
Well, yeah, because this video's been around for 12 years.
Yes.
So
and there were questions about Scientology in 2010.
For decades. Yeah. First of all, she's lying. One of the reasons you do this to a candidate, and the reason it's important, is to see how they respond. What she responds by claiming something that's preposterous. Well, in 2010, I didn't know about all the dark things that were going on. No, you're lying. The whole world knew. This has been a many decade story about the weirdness of the Scientology cult. It's gone on for good. There have been movies, there have been books, there have been people who've talked in public and testified. So it's a load of crap. So there's something to know about Karen Bass. When she's caught, what is the real reason that she was cheering on for the Scientologists?
Do you know what she said at first? When she was first questioned about this, and maybe this was in 2020, I don't know, she tried to claim, well, I made the appearance because it's in my district. It was a new headquarters in my district, so it was a big event. Turns out that isn't true. It's not in her district.
Okay, so that's twice she's lied. First it's, oh, I didn't know it was, I thought it was in my district. Now it's, oh, I didn't know what was going on with the church back then.
Didn't know they were controversial, right?
That's two big lies. So what's the real story? The real story is I think she wanted to tap into the donor base. Because there's a lot of wealthy people in the Hollywood industry, in the Church of Scientology. It seems to go. I don't know if they're all emotionally insecure, terrified that they're going to lose their standing, and this gives them some kind of center. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just cool and trendy because Cruz and Travolta are part of it. But there's a lot of money to be had by going to that church and doing the rah-rah for them. And I suspect that was the real reason for it, but she's not going to admit that.
Yeah, somebody should do some digging and see if any prominent Scientologist did end up giving her money after that appearance.
Politicians show up at organizations like this in order to loot them.
Absolutely, right.
The only reason a politician...
She's not a member of the Scientology cult. Why did she go to the event?
Yeah.
Not even in her district. It's not a big event. By the way, did they ask her to come? I mean, how did this work? Why was she invited? I don't even know that.
No, see, that's what should have been asked by the reporter. But... There was no intensive questioning. There was no follow-up questioning going on there, at least nothing that made his report. Now, the other issue, which was included in the report, was the gun thing. And she can whine all day about saying, well, I was the victim. Why didn't she answer the question? What kind of guns were they? She won't answer any of the questions that he keeps asking. If there are benign answers to all the questions, you're the one running for mayor. That's really weird.
I think the big question everybody has is, why did they only come and take your guns and why?
Yeah.
It seemed targeted.
Exactly.
That's just strange to people.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up. I mean, why can't people feel that? I think one of the El Segundo Times columnists said, that's sexist and racist to ask questions. She's the victim here.
It's sexist and racist.
As you said, they like to just throw out the isms.
They throw that to deflect any difficult question for someone they're supporting. No, I really want to know. What kind of person has robbers know where their guns are? I mean, the gun is in a closet. The guns are in a closet. They're in a safe. They're in some kind of lockbox. How did those two guys know to go in there and get that? And why were they only interested in those two guns? There's a lot of places to steal guns. There's a lot more valuable things in her house than guns. There's something. And how come those two are on such high bail?
All right.
Don't think the whole story is weird, I don't know what to tell you.
KFI AM 640 is the Johnny Kent Show, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to have Gina Silva from Fox 11.
John is featured in a... Featured. Like that word, is it good? I mean, you're in there, so...
I'm in there.
It's a documentary on fire and water.
Yes.
In California.
It's called Hell No Water, and it's an hour long, and it's on the drought... And the lack of water, and it's also on the fire, which is...
And I believe you make a big pitch for the climate change problem, and you tell everybody that we have to... No?
What?
I make
a pitch to start using the Pacific Ocean for water and end this debate.
You didn't say anything about fires?
They came to my house.
I saw that.
And I answered a number of questions... And it was a couple of months ago, and I don't remember exactly what I said. But whatever I said, I meant.
It must be good, yeah. You're a pundit, an expert.
What do
they label you as?
I don't know.
Men's advocate?
Other than that minute and a half trailer, I haven't seen anything. Stop with the men's advocate.
It's like 30 years old, and I loved it. John once did an interview. I forget what the topic was, but I remember they labeled you as men's advocate.
Yeah, well, it was some issue, and I was on the side of the guy.
I guess so.
That the bias was around even back then. It's always been around. God forbid you stand up for a guy.
All right. Well, Deborah Mark, we're coming after you today. Hmm. And I'm afraid while you're not exactly a vegetarian, vegans do cross over into that category. And it looks like a brand new extensive study says that the vegetable people experience depressive episodes twice as frequently as the meat eaters. Mm. How about that? I have a theory about this that I can explain, but first, we'll give you some of the parameters of this. They were trying to investigate the potential association between a meatless diet and depression among adults. 14,216 participants. That's a lot.
That's a lot of vegans.
They studied them. They were aged 35 to 74. I imagine you fit into that category somewhere, right?
Yep.
Or you're under 35, maybe?
Yeah, just by a hair.
Okay. Yeah. 6 months, they evaluated them. And they used a tool used to diagnose common mental health disorders. Vegetarians were found to have double the number of depressive episodes as meat eaters during the same period. They even took out variables like smoking, alcohol, physical activity, and something called micronutrient intake. So in other words, they accounted for those things, and they discovered that the vegetable people still had more depressive episodes. And they said that nutrient deficiencies don't explain the association here. Vegans, so they have to do more research.
Vegans are sad people.
Do I look sad to you?
We don't know what you're like off the air.
That's true.
But, and we know you panic a lot.
Yeah, but I've always panicked. And I have not always been a vegetarian / vegan. So nothing's changed. I'll be honest with you. That part of my personality has been around for a very, very long time.
Were you panicky as a child?
Yes, I was. I worried a lot, and I was always worried about earthquakes. So yeah, no. None of that has changed.
It's good to see you haven't grown at all.
Imagine a six-year-old's earthquake fear.
Oh, you should have seen me when I experienced earthquakes as a kid. Aye.
Did you like play with your dolls like a fake earthquake?
And no, I didn't do
get
that.
Get underneath the tiny table.
But us vegetable people, as Ken likes
to say. Well, why do you think vegetable people are so sad?
I have my own theory.
Oh. I want to hear Ken's theory.
Well, I wouldn't say it's critical. I would say that people who are concerned about their diets to the point where they want to pick and choose the foods to make sure they're staying on, quote, the healthy side, tend to over-worry and be over-concerned and probably get depressed about a lot of things.
Oh, so it's a symptom, not a cause.
Whereas meat eaters like John that just glob the stuff down and don't think about what they're eating, that just shows you another aspect of them, that they're kind of more carefree about a lot of things, so they probably don't have any mood problems. That's my theory.
Interesting theory, Ken.
I like that one.
It is interesting.
Because instead of it being the cause of the problem, it might be the symptom.
But
exactly.
I don't
think it's so much the food, although this article seems to think that there's some connection. But I think it's just about the mental makeup of the person that really focuses on vegetables over meat.
Right. You fuss too much.
Well, I'm not a vegan.
I love the word fuss.
I fuss. I'm not a vegan just for the health benefits that I feel that I get, but also
it's the animal love.
It's the animal love.
But that's part of it too. You worry about the animals. Like
you worry about animals too. You love animals.
I don't worry about the cows I eat every day.
Well,
though.
That's true, but you worry about other animals.
He does not think about any of this stuff.
I don't think.
Well, really?
much of the time, I just exist.
The only thing that moved him in the past year concerning worry is he built a bunker because Putin's going to kill us all. That's probably it.
Right, and that's pretty significant, don't you think? I don't have
it
a
was.
Bunker.
I was stunned by it. Absolutely stunned by it when he said that.
Yeah, for me,
I thought he was joking for a long time.
No, for me, that was a total nervous breakdown.
And then the details came out, and I'm like, wow, he's really doing this.
You can all come and visit it, and you're only going to visit.
I can be surprised after like 35 years of being doing a show with him. I was surprised by that.
I saw him firing at that nuclear reactor in Ukraine, and I thought, he could do this.
Okay. And you still feel that way?
No, even more so after last week.
Oh, yeah, I know, because of the last week's of it.
I think most of the world leaders are stupid asses. I do. And that a good number of them are insane. Putin included. Like, Biden is just stupid. Putin is insane. That's a bad combination when there's, tens of thousands of nuclear missiles stored.
Right.
One day we're all going to blow. I'm convinced of that. I cannot believe just the bad genetics of the people who run the whole world. So something's going
to
go ahead.
Ken, I have to ask you, what's the likelihood of John's fear opposed to my fear of a big earthquake? Which one do you think is more likely to happen?
Oh, us being nuked by Putin versus a major earthquake in Southern California?
Yes.
The earthquake.
Okay, thank you. So who's crazier?
But the earthquake is going to have very few casualties, even a bad one. When the nuke
the earthquake's coming, but it could be 50 years from now. We're long gone. Or
I think it'll be here way before that. And I'm not just worried about dying in an earthquake. I don't want to deal with the damage and worry and all of that.
Oh, yeah. It's like I said, no water.
Yeah, exactly.
And can you imagine? Power and all the stuff that will come with this and all the freeways are destroyed.
Absolutely.
No. Yeah, there's no way out. No,
right. To me, that is a more worrisome event than what you're concerned about, John. So I think you're more of a worrier.
You see, though, one thing I've learned, I felt the way you feel now 30 years ago when I moved here, and I realized some years in, hell, so many years have gone by, it hasn't happened. I'm not going to stay and worry about it every day.
Hey, if we're going to go, we're going to go. We're not going to miss much anyway.
All right, we'll have a preview of Channel 11. Fox 11's got a documentary tonight on California's wildfires and drought problem. And John Cobelt in it. We'll talk about that all coming up.
And Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.